Anthony Hatchett. I'm with all these different legendary Crips and stuff. And you just start wearing blue. You just start wearing the colors and stuff like that. So I've never jumped into a gang. I was a gang affiliate. I knew all the gang members. I knew all the shot callers. I knew all the niggas from 60s, everything. Niggas from Harlem, niggas from A-Trades. But I never really had to become part of a gang. People are like, what gang was you with? I never really was a gang member. You know? Huh? Yeah, never would. And sometimes just from the hood, you know what set it is over there, and they respect you. But, you know, I never had to put in work for the set. I never did none of that shit. But at the same time, I could get your head knocked off because I knew the right niggas.
Exactly. That's the same way we grew up.
We
grew up on a street that separated the sets. Right behind us was East Coast. Right on the other side was Swan. So, and the school separated.
Fremont?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We grew up on that street. So, we was getting money. My family, everybody know.
What streets were you on?
We grew up on 76 Place.
Look, my daughter's mother was on 73rd and Hoover, right between Hoover and Florence. So, right over in that area, they all went to Fremont. And that was when Hoover was called. When I grew up, they were called 7459 Hoover Crips.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. But it was 7459, so it included the 60s, you know, of that part. But I was like, you know, so, but that's something that people that aren't from LA, they don't understand. They think, well, you was in a gang or you weren't in a gang. I'm like, technically, everybody is under gang politics.
No matter what they were.
Yeah.
Dig it. My daughter was never in a gang. So she was staying with her moms in the jungle. So I'm not thinking. So I go out and I bought her some blue sneakers. She said, Daddy, I can't wear them. I'm like, why? What do you think? And she said, you forget where I live. I'm in the jungles. And she said, I just don't need the drama. And I said, I had to respect that. I mean, you know, you ain't no gangbanger. No, but it's a jungle.
I just can't wear it.
I can't wear it. And I said, I understand it. She don't need nobody checking her over her shoe wear, you know, which could turn into something. So, you know, but L.A. niggas have really been in the streets. You know, you have to learn how to move and this, that, and third. And you don't necessarily have to be in a gang to end up in some gang shit. yeah. But the listeners don't. So I try to let the listeners in on this because every once in a while, they get it twisted.
What, you just want to say something?
Oh, no. I'm
look, Henry and them from Brooklyn, right? They from Brooklyn. He learned the gang shit quick.
Yeah.
Like, and he's still alive. You either learn it or you don't make it.
I like it. Yeah, I come from Brooklyn. I came in. I used to do this in front of the Hoovers back in the day. We didn't know what that was. We just rocked. Like, remember we did that park back in the day where the Belizeans at? We just came out just like jungles, and when Crips was just, I mean, blood standing around us, we was like smiling, just rocking.
That probably was the best thing for you, too.
Yeah, it was just natural. Because
you didn't have no affiliation. Your affiliation was to what y'all was doing. You know what I'm saying?
It was tall. We're having a good time. But it was crazy. We was to Casa Camino. Me and Ice was on the table looking at A-Trades and 60s just like
killing each other. Yeah, like, that's the night they killed somebody.
No, that was at the Olympic Auditorium. Fat Five Freddy was there.
Yeah. So, you know,
everybody,
if you survive, like Cube said, how to survive in South Central, you know, you got to know. And see, what happened with me was, as I got to Crenshaw and I seen all the gangs, I started getting connected to the players. So now the players is coming to school with perms and motherfucking wearing Taylor Mays, going downtown getting some tailors with Ollie flaps and Vegas V's and all that shit, and pad rolling dice and learning about firing T's and all these different hustler ways. And, you know, since I was light skinned with light eyes, I was magnetic with bitches. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna fuck with these player niggas. And that's where the player in this shit came from, you know?
Was you rapping at that point?
No. I didn't even know what rap was.
When did you first start? What was your first rap? When you start like
first rapping? Well, see, before I became Ice-T. All
right, speak on that. Before you became, you said before you became. So, when did Ice-T that alliteration become?
Ice-T came from before that. See, gotta remember, there's a transformation in me. So when I first got to Crenshaw, I was dressing like a gangbanger because I had to adapt to that gang culture. So you would see me, I have on my motherfucking Levi's and the Croker Sacks with the suspenders down and the bomber jacket and the Ace Deuce and the, you know, the whole, I looked just like I was Crippin', you know, because, but I wasn't really in the set. But all my niggas was Crips.
Yeah.
So I dressed like them, you know, but, you know, everything but a flag. You know, I wasn't hanging no flags in my pockets, but niggas, I come to school every day khakied up. You dig what I'm saying? I used to take out my rollers in homeroom, you dig? So I was that nigga, you dig? Coming in like that, pow. But then, by the 11th grade, I started hanging out with more players. Now, early when I was like on the gangbanger shit, they would call me Crazy Trey. That was my earliest street name, like, because my real name's Tracy. Niggas, you say, yo, that's a bitch name, nigga. And I had to fight, right? I just met you, my nigga. Like, really? Like, so I shortened that to Trey, and they called it the Crazy Trey. So I used to write Crazy 3, right? But then, when I got to 11th grade, I started reading Iceberg Slim. Because my nigga Go Off, rest in peace, and Pie Face and them niggas would come to school. They had these books, Donald Goins books and Iceberg Slim books in their pocket. So I said, man, what is that? Nigga, this is that game. Nigga, you can't have this, man. So I went and got it. I cracked it open. I was intrigued with that shit, you know. Bitch looked at me like a slave set free. You know, bitch walked through raindrops, bitch. Fuck this corner, if not the other. Bring me that money if you got the fuck with, suck your, fuck off your brother, bitch. You know, so I'm like, yo, this is some real shit. So I kind of got off into that. And that same time, now I'm curling my hair. You know, so the pimping just kind of like got into me. So niggas used to say some more of that ice stuff, T. Like ice. So basically, Ice T is short for Iceberg because I can quote Iceberg Slims, you know. And now here you got a 16-year-old nigga quoting a 50-year-old man. So I was tremendous. You know, the hoes couldn't really understand why I'm getting all this game. I'm looking at the bitch saying, yeah, bitch, you know, bitch looked at me. And I said, bitch, I struggled to remain calm while you were saying that, baby. So she's like, this nigga's fly, but I'm in the book. Like, okay, I got more work. But that led, and so that just led to just learning how to say toast and stuff. But now I'm trying to keep the Crips off my bumper, so I'm making Crip rhymes. So, like, I started rhyming for the gangs. That's where I really started rhyming before beats came in.
Okay.
So I'm, like, strolling through the city in the middle of the night. Niggas on my left, niggas on my right, yelling, cut, 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 rib. Every nigga I see, if you bad enough, come fuck with me. I seen another nigga, I say, Crip again. He say, fuck a Crip, nigga, this is Brim. So we pulled out the Roscoe. Roscoe said, crack. I look again, nigga was shooting back. So he fell to the ground, aimed for his head, one more shot, the nigga was dead. Walked over to him, took his gun, spit in his face, and began to run. So if you see another nigga laying dead in the street in a puddle of blood from his head to his feet, hope it's time all you busses get hip. It's fucking Brim, nigga, this West Side, come, yeah. So now the gangbanging niggas like, we like this nigga. We like him. Let this nigga live. This nigga can live. Matter of fact, he can stay right here. Nigga, you rolling right now. This Sea Dog, nigga. Yeah, that's my nigga, man. Say one of them. Say another one. So I say another one. So, and that's why I learned how to do. Want me to do another one?
Yeah.
Followed to a party on a Saturday night, and I left a pad down and out for a fight. Had on my waistline leather, Levi's cuffed. Under the coat, I knew I was buff because I was driving the iron getting ready for that set. And I was packing a punch a nigga never forget. I had a ring in my ear, was hanging halfway to the floor because that's when Chris used to hang a chain on it. And I was so tight, I walked sideways out the door. Now my hoopty, it was lifted front, side, and rear. Glass was all tinted, wasn't none of it clear. Craigered down with a cold-ass pearl, the deepest diamond tuck in the goddamn world. I had quadraphonic headphones with the tone you could fix. Under the seat, I had a 30-06. On the way to the party, I was scraping and hopping because I knew by the end of the night there was going to be some popping. When I got to the set, I just let it lay on the ground. The Buddhists came to check it out from Chinatown. And when I fell in the party, there was bitches for days. I was looking crazy in some hellified ways. I just walked in the corner, listened as they talk. First James Brown record, I jumped up and Crip walk. Now I was walking so hard, couldn't no one compete. I about to turn out that party with my goddamn feet. But then some niggas went and got out of line. and his nose, my fist had no trouble to find after driving the iron so hard all that day. I drove that nigga's grill in one hell of a way. But his partners fell out, so did mine. The squabbing went on for quite a long time. Then all of a sudden, I heard some popping. I knew not too soon this fight would be stopping. I seen 22s, 38s, and a 45. I knew not too much would be left alive. The niggas broke out in a goddamn rage. I even think I seen the sawed-off gauge. But homie, I was sent from hell, not heaven. I broke out with the chrome-plated 357. And the name of the game is simply survival. At the end of the night, 10 was dead on arrival. And me and my partners, we was gone like the winds. Police blamed it on the Crips of the Brims. But some niggas knew in the corner in the dark, them crazy niggas reside in Triangle Park. They go by the name of Burnett, Zell, and Trey. And they belong to the association called the EPA. That's when we called ourselves the Eliminators Pimping Association. You did? Come on, Layla. You know, that's that shit. Now, I would, I could intrigue niggas with this. Is just pre-rap. Go Mac.
That was like Blowfly. Like, that was like some. That was
it's
like,
player shit. You know what I'm saying? But it's player.
That was storytelling. That was all that shit at once. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But it's player. But then you got your gang banging shit in there. You know, falling in the set, crip walking, all that. So it was that mixture. So when I first heard Rapper's Delight, by then I was in the Army, Laylaw. I was in the Army.
And they all know you was a Ranger.
Yeah, all that means I can have you killed quick. But no, I can hit you from across the block, Jack. But no, all that is a bunch of cardio. But other than that, I went to the Army. And while I was in the Army, I knew Uncle Jams was active. And I knew Bay 5 was active. And I knew all the promoters was, the L.A. promotion scene was happening. So my plan was I'm going to buy a bunch of stereo equipment and come out and throw parties. That was my plan. So I bought a bunch of stereo equipment.
Still ain't, haven't made a demo or nothing yet.
I rap ain't came out yet.
Okay.
And so then I'm in the Army, but you're in there with New York niggas. Mm-hmm. And New York niggas had tapes. See, people got the generations of hip-hop fucked up. First generation is unrecorded, mm-hmm. unrecorded hip hop, mm-hmm. when it was just on tapes before niggas made records. Mm-hmm. That has to be the first generation, mm-hmm. when people would get hold of them tapes, when you had them tapes. Nobody wants to claim that as the first generation, but that is the first generation.
Yeah. Run them swap me shit.
Recorded.
Huh? Yeah. Run them swap me shit.
Just all that. The LA, the New cassettes. York, the cassettes, like cassette flashes on, the beatbox, all that stuff, the battle of
all busy. All the niggas back in the days was cassettes when we got from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Talking about Wild Style Busy B before all that.
Yeah, no, that time, Wild Style Busy B. But that's where the first generation.
Yeah, it's a cassette era.
The first recorded generation will be starting with Sugar Hill Gang, Curtis Blow, Run, Fat Boys, and all them. Okay. I was the third generation, which was me, Public Enemy, Eric B. and Rakim, EPMD. We got on wax.
I thought you was out before Run now.
No. No, Run DMC was first.
Ryan Page came out with you.
After that. Because I remember going 85? To... 85 or something. I remember going to see Run DMC at the LA Sports Arena.
Me too.
And it made me decide to be a rapper. Yeah. When I saw them and the Lasers, because at this point, I was already with Hen and them, but we were only playing house parties and bullshit, like garages and shit. When I saw that shit in a sports arena, I'm like, this shit is going to be big.
Then when Leo brought him, Roger?
It's just... It was at the L.A. Sports Arena.
That was my first concert. Run opened up for Egyptian Lover.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was Uncle James.
But no, when they did that, that was small. But when I saw when I saw Jam as a Jam, that riser, and the I think Ella came out the radios, and I was like,
that was Uncle James.
This shit is going to be huge. Yeah. And I think that's when I really took it fucking serious. I was like, yo, I think I went home and wrote an album that night, my nigga. I was like, because until somebody does something, you don't know it can be done.
Yeah.
And when you see it at that magnitude, I was like,
for the radio with LL.
Okay, this is rock and roll. This isn't just some club shit. Now, at the same time, I got my one foot in the hustle, and I was like, I got to let one of these go, because I know infamy and fame don't match. You dig? I'm like...
That's a hard decision because rap wasn't making no money.
No one had bought a car yet.
You know what I'm saying?
So I decided, I said, you know what? I knew my days was numbered in low digits because my my crew that I was hustling with, most of them was in prison. Matt Shawnee was in prison. All my guys that I was rolling with were doing bids. So I had to check my ego. Do I think I'm better? I'm smarter? Do I not think this is going to catch up with me eventually? Niggas is calling me from jail. Ice, don't come here, cuz. Don't come here, nigga. You know? They don't, niggas in here don't know nothing about no Dom Perignon. These niggas don't know nothing about no filet mignon. These niggas is tying 5 and 6 blue rags around their motherfucking head. Nigga, you can't, you won't come up in here. They gonna turn you into a savage. You know what I'm saying? I was like, look, man, I listen. You know, these are niggas I looked up to. They was like, don't come, Ice. Don't, you know, nigga, you still out here, man. Figure it out. So I had to figure it out. And I went broke. I went real broke. And, you know, some of my other niggas that were still out was active, you know, would come through. And but you know, it's like heroin addiction when you in a, when you know you can go snap your finger and get 20,000 or whatever, but you just have decided not to, you know.
That's what I meant, Shawnee, when he got out.
Shawnee went back. The first time Shawnee, now let me tell you about Shawnee Sean, since we on this kind of thing.
That's my guy, man.
Shawnee Sean was the driver known to give freak hell, right? Sean and niggas had 100 pounds of weed in a spot in Inglewood. Beatmaster V, my drummer from Body Count, rest in peace. So these niggas got they breaking down the pounds in the spot. Vic decides to serve out the front door of this spot. That you know, this is not where you're supposed to sell from, right? Yeah. Now this house got all kind of stolen shit in it, Fila sweatsuits, all kinds of shit like that. I had a hot G, I had a G in the back. In the garage, in the back of this spot, there was a whole bunch of shit. I can speak on it now, statute of limitations, but there was a whole bunch of cameras and electronic equipment because niggas had hijacked a Best Buy's truck. I'm talking about niggas had shit up in this spot. Now, that was my work, the electronics. Shawnee had the weed. When they raided him, they wanted to know about my shit. More than the weed, because my shit was a 25-year bid, you know, for hijacking. And Shawnee held water. He's like, man, give me, I'm a weed dealer, man. I don't know, this is a crime house. Niggas be in and out of this motherfucker. Stake it out, bust me, and then see who comes to get that shit. But I don't know about me, man. I don't do this. I sell weed, you know. And they gave him 5 years for that, you know. But he could have snitched. If Shawnee would have ratted me out, there probably would never be no Ice. I'm saying that would have been it.
Did he have a blazer then?
No. When he came out of jail, I looked out.
Okay, that's when he got the blazer.
He got the gold blazer. He got the blazer. We put the gold Daytons on it. Yeah. Everything was love, right? But then, one day he felt he was. But you know, not like I bought him the blazer. Uh-huh. But now he came back home and everybody had money and we made sure everybody was looking bright, right? So Sean gets the blazer and he goes over his girl's house and he looks out and the cop, he do 3 and a 5. He goes out and looks out the window and the cops is fucking with the blazer. And the nigga for a split second thought he had rights. What did he do?
Well, outside to talk.
What y'all doing? Nigga, what are you doing? What are you doing? They come up. Okay, blah, run your shit. Oh, you're on parole? So we can just run up in this crib. Ran up in the crib, found a 38 in the shoebox. That was his girl's and violated him. He had to go back and finish off his bid. Two more, I think, in Chino and stuff. But, you know. You know, I still hold that moment dear because a lot of niggas would have been like, oh, what? Oh, you'll let me go? And you would have told, you know, but there was a code back then.
I told you, different rules now.
There was a code back then. So, you know, and there was a lot of shit there that he, you know, my car, I had a hot car. We was just fucking up, you know? But that was like the crime house. That was a spot. That was not meant for niggas to live in, sleep in. That was just a spot. Like, I guess they would call the trap now, you know? But, you know.
He had a hot car, too.
He thought he had rights. He thought he had rights. Go tell him what you're doing in my car.
Hey, officer. nigga. Nigga, you on parole, nigga. You know, and then he didn't even know the girl had a gun in the car. He got busted before with my Tech 9. Shiny was having bad luck.
Wow. Know?
But, you know, we was all kids, and at that time you reckless because you're in your 20s, you're 19, you're 20, and you feel like you could do 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things that once you hit 30, 40, 50, you like, I don't got, but back then, you wild. That's why when you look at these youngsters, I'm like, they wild. You know, they know they can probably come back home from a murder.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't test them because I already know my mentality at that age, how I felt about older niggas. You know, I'm like, you know, you could get it too, you know, so I don't play in the streets with these kids. Yeah.
Speaking of old school, Law, when first time we went to New York, Law was with Busy B.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know how much I was a Busy B fan, though. He just hanging out with Busy
B. I love Busy B.
Busy B just came home for some LL show. They having a ball.
Right.
And I'm on the corner like, this nigga Law go Busy. I just told this nigga recently, nigga, that's the nigga from Wild Style. Yeah. I'm telling Law everything about him. But this, Law like, oh, that's my dude. I'm like, nigga, that's Busy B. You talking about your dude, nigga. That is Busy. Like, what's up?
Early hip hop
was old Busy. Boy,
before
was
all that East Coast, West Coast stuff, it was more love, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love all of old school East Coast cats.
Because rappers are rappers and we're all fans and no one can tell you who to be a fan of. So like with people like, oh, you West Coast, I would be in New York, I'm like, well, these girls like obviously don't know whether I'm West Coast or not. They just like the music.
You like the bridge, really. You like really bridge from the East Coast to the West Coast that brought it to us in a sense, because you was respected so much on the East Coast.
Well, I got signed on the East Coast. I got signed. Like, Islam got me signed on the East Coast. So where L.A. was bullshitting with me and I was going out on McCullough Records and all that old bullshit, you know, getting robbed.
You went through the McCullough thing?
Everybody did. Everybody. I was
so
over
there. So 6 in the morning was through McCullough?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Unknown record.
On Electro Beat.
Okay.
To Unknown DJ.
King TNM.
Look at these niggas, they ain't even hooked this shit up. The damn interview's over, my nigga. Y'all recording sound, though, right?
I've been recording sound.
Okay, cool. Because I never seen a production company so unfunk-o-matic. You got a camera over here. You niggas got the light and this. That. But whatever, I guess it's going to be dope. I guess it'll be hard.
We're gonna put it together. As long as we get something, we're gonna put it together.
Yeah, you got
next
the
time
sound.
You gotta come out to the Coin Academy.
Absolutely, man. But you seen the situation.
Yeah, I seen. I appreciate
if
you.
If I had a dis,
we talked this morning.
If I had
you said, Law, I gotta go to Dre. I'm gonna be out here for a little while. I'm gonna call you when I'm leaving from Dre. I gotta do an interview. Come by after that, and here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
All the same day. You know what I'm
exactly.
Saying?
I was like, I was trying to schedule it, but it's crazy. It's crazy, but you know. You make time for people that you want to make time for.
And
you
I appreciate, saying. We appreciate the love,
like,
man.
I could be like, yo, yeah.
You always have.
Who like wants to do like, an interview? Who, like, them? Oh, man, I got to clean my sneakers during that period of time.
People don't know that. Ice always have been like, I look at him like he's like my OG and this shit. Always been extremely, extremely, like, just good to a nigga. Ice left.
That's how you live,
Ice,
dude.
Ice opened up his home to me and let me record a major portion of the Law House experience at his house.
Yeah.
Shark tanks and all.
Shark tanks and windows opening and roofs opening and all this kind of stuff.
That bull walking around.
He didn't ask me for one penny.
See, the thing about
Ice has rapped on many tracks for me, have not asked me for one penny and be spitting fire on them motherfuckers.
Dog, listen, you know dog. What I mean? Love keeps you alive out here, man. Not nobody scared of nobody, man. Niggas know it's like, you know, it only takes 6 ounces of pressure. Niggas will pop you, kill you, 15 years old, 11 year old nigga. Yeah. Love keeps you alive. Yeah. So say, for instance, this is my inner sanctum. You niggas got love for me. Well, every one of the people I may not know, you know 20 niggas outside. You speaking highly of me. Those 20 niggas are speaking to 20 more niggas. And they saying, yo, that's Law's people. That's my nigga, da, da, da. Now, somebody way over here get ready to do something crazy. They going to run into somebody that got love for me. They going, wait, whoa, back that shit up, Ice. Yeah. You can't have it. Now, fear. Oh, nigga, no, he's tough. Nigga, what that? Niggas will push right through fear. They don't give a fuck about that. You know, that's a challenge to them. But with love, now, when it becomes dangerous, though, it's when your inner sanctum, somebody close to you goes left. Because that's the nigga that can let niggas up on you. That's and whenever it happens, it's somebody, you know, really close. So I'm always very conscious of my closest friends and stuff, because I know it just branches out into, you know. And I never been a do-lo nigga. I always had this feeling, niggas that play dirty. Do dirt, get dirt. Niggas,
dark comes to light.
Yeah, you're not gonna win being greasy. It's just not, you know, it doesn't match.
Not long term.
You know, you might have to get gangster, but if that's your whole get down, like you think that you finna thug out your way throughout life, be a tough nigga, jacking niggas. No, nigga, your number's coming.
Ice gave me the avenue for my book. Ice number love, man.
Because I'm a real live player, you know, Laylaw. Players love giving compliments. You know, player want to throw Grey Poupon at a nigga. Player want to see other niggas win, man. You know, it's like it has no reflection on me, man. When I see you, when you need help or something, that's fly, man. You know, that's just how I'm cut. I'm just cut like that, man. See, no man is great alone. You're only great when other great men speak of you in high regard. So regardless to who I think I am, if Gomac walk out of here and he's speaking hot, that's what makes me great. That's what makes you great, is when other people say Laylaw's a solid nigga. That's your rap. Fuck what you think you are. Yeah, nigga, I'm that nigga. Nigga, that nigga, bitch ass nigga. You know, why would you want that energy to go out there? So your reputation and your behavior is paramount. It has to be, you know, impeccable. If you really want to be known as a fly nigga, you know? And, you know, you want to be known as a tough nigga, then go out, try to jack your way to the riches, and you go catch a hot one, because the niggas ain't with that.
Like I said, you stopped us from drinking beer, and you gave us a case of champagne, because you say, we used to fight every city. You say, I already knew what it was. It was y'all niggas. Come here, go. Man, look here, man. I got a case of champagne. You niggas stopped drinking beer.
Y'all was wild, though. You niggas was wild. See, I'm much older than you. How old are you, man? 50. So I'm 12 years older than you. I'm about to turn 62. So I was older than everybody. So I could see the youth, but you know, I knew you niggas wasn't no busters. I knew, but I also knew you wasn't my enemy. So was it? People always meet me. They go, Ice, you so cool and nice. I said, well, you're not my enemy. You know what I'm saying? There's another nigga in here, but that's for them. You know what I'm saying? There's another nigga, you know, but that's not for you. Why I'm walking around being mean and rude to people that have done nothing to me?
Chicago, we on stage, we go off. You call us, you let me use your ADAT machine.
Yeah.
Because Scarface and them won't let us use. You're like, come here, this West Coast go. You know how to work a tape recorder. Mm-hmm. You know how to stay pop, stop, pop, and record. Later on, we got to a fight. So should have been on the stage. You was calling us to the side. He's like, come here. And he fired jumped off. I'm like, Law was there. Should DOC was there.
Which one in Texas?
That's a whole nother fight. See, that's Houston in Texas. I'm talking about in Chicago.
Texas, they was moving on.
You were flaming.
Niggas had to. I seen a nigga with an AK in the back.
Oh yeah, we had
guys. Y'all remember that one? Yeah, y'all remember that Texas.
You were flaming on the side. You were flaming flavors on the side. You like, come here, go, come here.
It was in a golf course. Niggas pulled out guns out the garbage can for who was it?
Was you with me when was they there when I knocked that nigga out in Kansas City on the stage?
Oh no,
that's a legendary one. I had a legendary situation out there, but yeah, that was crazy. I was doing a show in Kansas City. NWA was there.
I was in the hotel room.
NWA was there. No, you was on the.
What's his name? That was a nightclub. You went over the bridge, St. Louis.
No, I'm talking about when the nigga came on the stage and I knocked him out. That's when Bob was there too.
Mm-hmm. That happened too much all the time.
I was on the stage and I had this part. This is when I was with Darlene. So I had this part. Before I would do 6 in the morning, I would go, my name is Ice-T. I got a rep like a killer, killer, killer. No one gets wilder. No one gets iller. Ella, I don't get high, I don't drink Miller, but if your bitch is empty, I'm sure I could fill her. I make stupid ass records because I just don't care. Motherfuckers can't even play my shit on the air. But y'all know you like it. You say you want more, because every time I leave the crib and go to the store, I hear 6 in the morning. morning, police. That's how we was going to it. So here I go, my show. My name is Ice T. I got a rep like a killer. I want to fuck that bitch. I want to fuck that bitch. I try to like act like that. This nigga was loud as the whole arena. No one gets wilder. No one gets siller. I want to fuck that slutty bitch on the phone. I think it was getting on my nerves. Like, so I was like, okay. Come on, cuz. Bring this nigga on the stage. So what happened was there was a, you know, there's a hole in the middle of the place where the barricade is. So the nigga was going to come up on the stage, right? So they're bringing him right here. And I seen where he was coming. I said, I'm going to have one shot at this, right? So I was on some Eminem shit. So I seen him. I backed up like three steps. I just had the right. I backed
Shot
up.
Them up.
That nigga did it like a
field goal
kicker.
I lined the nigga up.
Like a field goal kicker.
And yo, go, Mac. When they put him on the stage, the nigga had to stand up like as soon as that nigga eyes just was skipped. Bow! I hit him. And I my eyes were so focused. I thought, I can't miss him. I got to hit him. And I just came in. I caught him right on the guard. Boom! This nigga just did just like this. Wham! Right onto the stage. I said, six in the morning, police at my door. Oh, man, that whole place went crazy. They thought that shit was a rig.
I set that up perfect.
I rocked the whole motherfucking shit. They drugged the nigga off the stage, sent him out the motherfucking back door, no shoes, no shirt. You know, you beat the clothes off a nigga, fucked him up. And it's so funny because years and years and years and years later, I keep meeting people that tell me, yo, man, that was my man you hit. Like, I made him famous. I made the nigga famous, man.
Yeah. No, bro, luckily, that shit happens like that.
And, you know, it was before videotapes. There's no film on it. And I remember, like, NWA niggas was on the side of the stage like, God damn it, this shit is wild because we kind of battled our way across the states. Like, it would be a skirmish over here. There'd be a fight, you know, because you were an invading tour. You know, you coming to take their bitches. You coming to.
Oh, yeah. All that.
Niggas be mad.
Yeah, that's my homeboy girl. Yeah. That's my man girl he's talking to. Like, wow.
She up in this motherfucker. Oh, here. Like, she ain't connected to nobody.
Here go a good story. You want another story?
I love it.
Eazy-E. So Eazy-E and Yeller, them niggas would take the bed and take the beds off the mattress and make a room of mattresses and shit. So I'm like, these niggas is wild, right? So we were someplace like Mississippi, and we were staying in a motel, so all the rooms faced the pools. So all of a sudden, I heard some guy outside, Mavis, are you in there? Mavis! So niggas was looking out the window like, yo, you was Mavis. And they like, I think that bitch in there was Eazy in there. Mavis! Mavis! And then here she comes out. I was like, Compton, why are you making all this ruckus? She said, Mavis, don't leave me for these rap stars now. Niggas is like, the whole tour is looking like, oh my God, this is so sad, right? And I know Eazy's in there doing the lowest shit to this chick. Mavis, don't leave me for these rap stars. He says, Carlton, just go home. Why are you making a fool? Like, I love you. He said, Mavis, I love you. She says, hey, Carlton, you don't love me. You dog me. And then you see he just snatched the bitch into the room. And boom. And then we just sat there and seen homeboy. We was like so sad for this nigga. I was like, yo, this is the most heartbreaking rap moment I've ever seen.
Dude, I've seen that kind of shit like that damn near every night. That shit be like every night somebody come looking for their bro. That's why they threw it in the movie like that. It was such a common thing. Like, you know what I mean?
I remember you wore one night you said, Nice Dogs fuck with you. Like, hey man, when you gonna sing Reckless? You like, look here, go. I got so many albums. I can't be doing all that old shit. But I'm like, man, come on. Shotty put me up to it. Like, go ask him to sing it. Go ask him to sing it. Shotty's dogs said, come here, go ask him to sing it. Hey man. And you be like, oh, I got something. Let me talk to you. He said, but tonight I got something special. I came out there in tuxedos. You was in New Jack City.
Yeah, yeah.
And you said you did Pusha Man.
Yeah.
And you killed it. You came out there. I said, damn, this nigga wore a tux. You said, what you think about that? You had a tux on too, nigga, that night. Everybody had tuxedos.
Yeah,
tuxedo.
But we did it on tour. We did it some shows too.
But you tested on the road. You're like, watch it. I got something special tonight. Watch it. Niggas came out there in tuxedos.
We was having fun. Was that
your favorite album?
Probably OG. Is it? Because OG was a double album. Okay. You know, it was 25 songs. So, you know, OG, you know, had New Jack Hustler on it. It had all kinds of records on it. You know, The Tower was on there. You know, I think OG, I felt I had my hit my stride because Ron Pace was new. I was new. I didn't know how to make an album.
But Ron Pace was just so.
We needed Ron
so
Pace.
So fucking.
Yeah, Ron Pace is a play on crime Pace. It was like, Ron, you know, Pace, getting out of the game. And, you know, got the Porsche, got the money, and then Ron Pace. And the next power was me saying, wow, my words have power. And we had to cover with the Uzi and all that old shit was... And then the iceberg.
All that shit was fly back.
Iceberg, right? Freedom of speech, just watch what you say. And then by OG, I was in full stride at that time. Okay. You know, the records was going platinum. And I was just talking my shit. And, yeah, I think that was like, you know, almost kind of like when I peaked. You know, that was it. And then the game just started getting crazy. They were so on us, you know. That's also OG. I introduced Body Count.
Okay. Was Jack Hustle on
OG. Colors was never on any of my albums.
Just the soundtrack for the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. Colors was never on any of my albums.
So you was filming New Jack City when we was on the road?
Yes.
I remember that big ass pistol, that big ass long.
And I had dreads. They had me wearing dreads and shit like that. But you know, what you gonna say? You know, at the time, all that stuff was what was happening, you know. But I re-insist that there was never, you know, the way L.A. was moving, we was moving. Like I told Dre today, I said, yo, he was like, I didn't feel no kind of way about MWA because I liked having help. You know, you got to remember, I was out 2 years before NWA came out. I had 2 albums out, so I was by myself, you know, and niggas was like, is you the only fly nigga in L.A.? You know, there's 100 New York rappers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when NWA came, it was like, I was like, yeah, yeah, nigga, yeah, yeah. There's niggas out here, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, we used to, we would out be out together, you know, and stuff. And now if you tell the story later, and you know, when Pac comes and all the different things that happened in those eras, you know, the history's so twisted, people, you know, they can't imagine how it went. They get it all confused, but it don't matter. You know, to me, I'm like those who say don't know and those who know don't say. You know, whenever I see an OG nigga, I'm like, you was there, so I gotta say shit.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You really know.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know what happened that night. You know, all these stories. And
you was at the Newman seminar that day.
Yeah, you niggas was wild. Look, I already knew. I already knew. I said above the law, niggas is a problem. Them niggas is wild. I knew you niggas was wild. I saw 187 go in at
Celebrity.
Yeah. I saw that firsthand.
You was there that
night? Yeah, I was there. You dig? I already know it was crazy. I already know. So I'm like, okay, you know, but we all friends now. Love is love. Yeah, you dig what I'm saying? Yeah. And that was needed. You know, nobody shot nobody. You know, everybody, you know, kept it 100, you know.
But we got banned from the New Music Seminar. They said, you niggas can't never,
absolutely,
ever.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
This mother can't talk about absolutely.
You niggas started a riot.
Yeah, you was there right there, like, run and all
nigga,
that.
I seen Michael Conception's scooter go, shoof. He took off. They like, he's like rumbling, like, I'm out.
Fred, his homeboy Fred was there, Big Fred.
But, you know, that's what it was, you know. But, we still here, man.
Yeah, we are.
That's the beautiful thing about it. King Sun, your first fight came out in 82
King Sun.
Like
who side he was on?
The Q side.
He was on Q side. Yeah.
That's documented. Like,
and then got mad at Cube later because he said Cube took Wicked from him. But, you know, those are growing pains. Yeah, it was early. My first record was 82, Cold Wind Madness. And that happened from I was at Good Fred's getting my
head. Girl spot?
Yeah, you know, I was getting ways.
Good friend
one. I was getting the motherfucker, you know how to play ways.
Yeah,
and bot.
Yeah.
I put my shit up in some magnetic rollers with a lot of body. When I pulled my curlers out, my shit would crack. Like, And they pump. Then they my shit more wavy than the ships in the Navy. You did. So I was in there and I was saying similar type rhymes. You know, I was, you know, mama said, my lady say I was heaven sent because I got more money than the U.S. Mint. I ride ragtop Rolls, rocks on my hands, Maseratis and Mercedes Benz, ocean liners, private jets. Bel Air bookies place my bets. I own islands off the coast of France, and I wear designer shirts and pants. When I was brought into this world, my mama never asked if I was a boy or a girl because I rolled over to her and gave her a kiss. And she said, yo, daddy don't rock me like this. No. So I was saying that kind of pimp shit, you know, that I was a pimp, the player, the woman layer, the hoolie doula, the whole house ruler. So I'm saying all this shit, and this guy named Willie Strong and them walked in, and they were they owned VIP Records on Crenshaw. Willie Strong and Cletus Anderson.
Crenshaw what?
Like Crenshaw up closer to Venice near Pep Boys. He used to be one up there. Like, yeah, right, Ken. Crenshaw, you know where Pep Boys is on Crenshaw near Venice? Near
my water wheel's going that way. That's Crenshaw and Venice.
Crenshaw, yeah, near the, well.
I know what you're talking about.
You know
exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Down, near the harbor, near the, what's the freeway?
Washington.
Right there, right in that area. There used to be a VIP Records there on Crenshaw. And that's the one they owned. And so they say to me, they go, you want to do something with that? I'm like, what are you talking about? They say, no, we got a studio. We got music. You want to go in? And literally, they put me in the car. Just like Jam Master Run said, they threw me inside the Cadillac. Yeah, right. The chauffeur drove off, and he never came back.
So they put the record down to the bone.
Right, so they took me to the studio, and they had a record by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Colin Manis.
Yeah, and there were some girls singing on it, and they pulled them off, and they said, rhyme. And I actually went in the booth with just the rhymes, the street rhymes I had in my head. You know,
you remember the song?
Yeah. People say that I was born to play because I'm the iced tea on your sunny day. I make the goers come, the leavers stay, the lovers kiss, the workers play, the runners walk, the quiet talk. I rap so viciously, I make a blind man see. I'm the lady scream, the virgin's wet dream. I got the kind of moves to make the young girls cream. Now the lady said, and I'm talking that pimp shit, you know.
Let's
talking that shit. And so, and
82.
And in 82, I'm saying, I'm a player. That's all I know. On a summer day, I play in the snow. So I was only talking about cocaine, you know, from the womb to the tomb. I run my game because I'm cold as ice and I show no shame, you know. Just saw this player shit.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did that.
Well, see, no, they didn't do it.
Why this nigga said he did it, Jimmy?
Listen, the track was already made.
By them. Okay.
Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis track with some girls singing on it.
And this song had never came out.
It was, exactly. Okay. So Cletus and them, I never met Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, but they owned the track. Mm-hmm. So what happened is when they pulled the track and I rapped over it, it was done by Jimmy Jam.
In 82,
feel me? You understand?
In 82, was they Jimmy Jam?
They was
already somebody by 82?
They was still Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. I don't know about the time, but I know my black ass didn't know who they was. Yeah. I just knew that there was a, you know, cool beat, and I was in a recording. First time I'd ever been in a recording studio. And I like I said, I literally made the song up with the rhymes I had in my head. Yeah. I didn't have any. And so I made the record. And
what happened to that song?
It's out. You can find it.
Came out.
You can find it. And they on Saturn Records. I think I made like $400.
You got something.
You know. And they had a contract on me, and you know they sold it this, that, and the third. But that record, like people want to know how things happen. That record made me the only West Coast rapper ever recorded. And so the people that owned the radio club where we shot Breaking and all that shit, they was some cats from Russia. It was Alex Jordanoff and KK, and they was doing hip-hop down there. And they brought Soul Sonic Force and Bambada and the Breakers. What was called the radio first. It became Radiotron once it made it to the movies. Right. So but it was a really more like white subculture. Hip-hop was very boutique. Mm-hmm. and stuff. Malcolm McLaren was in there, and Madonna and all kinds of people, but they would do it. There was breakdancing in there. Now, when the movie came, they said, we want to do it, and they didn't want to pay the radio, so they called it the Radiotron. Okay. Once again, it's bullshit. But I get a call from them, and they go, hey, you know, you have a record out. Would you like to come perform at the radio? My first gig. So I went there, and it was hip-hop. And now I'm at the Glove. The Glove was carrying the speakers into the spot. And he was just carrying speakers. You know, he was setting up the PA. And the owner of the club, this is how Glove got his name. They told him, yo, we need a DJ. Can you DJ? Yo, yeah, I can DJ. You got a DJ name? No. Nigga had on gloves. Nigga, you be the Glove. Nigga. Wow. Wow. He'll tell you. And he was like the house DJ. And
that's funny.
Right. It's a true story. So he would play every night. They had a cat, Holly Watts, Ja Dub, all these different in-house things. I kept going back there after I performed, and I kind of like became like
the house MC.
The house MC and the main guy on the stage. So if Laylaw came in there and said, y'all got some bars, I would take him downstairs, and I would say, okay, let me see what you got. Okay, cool. Yo, just flew in. His helicopter just landed in the parking lot. You know what I'm saying? Big Laylaw, you know, Bud Law people's up in this building. And I don't know who the fuck you are. I'm just making this shit up. And I would introduce you and you would perform. So one night I'm in the spot. And it goes, the girl's downstairs wants to sing. I'm like, so what you want to do? Blah, blah, blah. She goes, oh, you know, I got this record, Physical Attraction. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, she had a little single. I said, okay, let's do it. Put her on the stage with Madonna. Word. Right there. So she did her little performance
at the radio.
You know, my girl I had at the time was all jealous because Madonna was in the middle of a show. She was touching me and shit like that. So my girl looking at her, I'm like, shit. You know, but that's a true story. And, you know, all the breakers and shit would come there and get down because it was playing that kind of music.
Shabadoo.
It was kind of like, no, not Shabadoo. See, Shabadoo didn't hang out there. This
he was a locker, too.
He was one of the original lockers. He wasn't really somebody that was at the radio at the time.
How did he get in all that?
Because the movie was going to get made. So I'll tell you the Shabadoo story. We always admired Shabadoo because he was one of the lockers. And that's real West Coast shit. So when they get ready to make the movie, the producers walk into the movie, into the room and go, oh, this is wonderful. This is culture. Let's make a movie based on this.
Right here.
You could be the MC. You could be the DJ. These kids will dance. So they just swallowed up everybody. Well, I guess when the movie was being made, Shabadoo somehow got in the production and told him, no matter what you see, I'm the original of all this. And so by the time Shabadoo got put into the movie, he was like, he just like input himself in there. Even though he was an originator of the culture, it wasn't like he was hanging around like shrimp and them. You know, they was really the young kids. Okay, let me take you back. I seen shrimp popping at the workshop, nigga. You remember the workshop that was right off of Western, so deep in that's the most gangster club. They had a room in that motherfucker that was just dark. It had no lights at all.
Western
in like probably in the '70s or something. It was a Shawnee will tell you. Ask Shawnee about the workshop. One time, nigga said, nigga, I was in this workshop talking to a nigga for about a half hour. Man, lights came on, the nigga was dead. Nigga, I thought I heard the nigga say, huh? You know, so it was fucked up. It was gutter. It was a very hood shit. But anyway, that's how that whole happened. And after the movie was made, they said they wanted some music. So they go to Glove, and Glove says, I can make some music. And so Glove comes to me and says, hey, I got this song. That's why Reckless is about Glove. And if you look at the record, it's called Chris the Glove Taylor.
Yeah, I already wrote it?
No, he got the deal.
Okay, all right.
He got the deal. They came.
He wrote a song about him. It's
he got deal. To me to rap.
Okay.
So it was Chris the Glove Taylor featuring Ice-T.
All right.
So people like, weren't you guys a group? No. No, we weren't a group. He was the club DJ and I was the MC.
I always thought it was your song.
Well, I'm just helping y'all read the fine print. Ain't that why we on this podcast?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, I'm going to tell you this true story. So this is how it happened. Now, Glove didn't want to be like, he wasn't really my DJ. So that's how I met the Spin Master. So now I'm a rapper without a DJ. And at the same time, I'm still hustling, right? So I see these niggas at the Veterans Auditorium. No, not Veterans. Auditorium. They the New York City Spin Masters, and they could scratch and all that.
He was looking for Ice. He was like, we heard him on the radio, the only nigga rhyming.
So I'm like,
I was wondering how y'all hooked up.
Yeah, so I see them at Veterans Auditorium. So I'm up in there with my perm and my shit.
Leather suit,
you know, knocking bitches. And
Porsche outside parking the red.
The red boy?
It parked in a red too, yeah. The
I was on my bullshit. Go back. I was
that's how you should be.
I was LA hustling, you know. So I see these niggas. First off, one of they niggas, Shaquille, wanna battle me. Like, you know, we from New York. I got this shit now. I was like, yo, calm the fuck down. Like, we not battling right now. I said, I need to know you niggas. And they were very polite. They was really cool, blah blah blah. So I ended up coming to their house.
After he shows you bank card, like a little bank statement showing you.
Know, oh yeah, that nigga tried to flex on me. I'm like, man, look, man, y'all niggas is tripping, man. Look, let's show you some money right quick. You know, I'm a fool. Niggas like, oh, this nigga's got cake. And then I go over to their house, and then we started making routines because there were no instrumental records, so you had to really catch the break. So. Evil would make records and stuff, and Evil was more like Will and the DJ. He was more MCing, but Timmy was 17, right, in school. So once everything started to take off and we started to actually make moves, because the only reason I had not made an album yet, only reason I worked with Unknown was because I was trying to get Unknown to do their record. I was like, yo, do their record. He was like, I'll do my record. You gotta give me a record. So I, you know, give me a record. So we did You Don't Quit. And then I was like, okay, you ready to do Spin Master record? No, I need another record. Give me another record. And then we did Dog in the Wax. And at 6 in the morning, my man Randy Mack had the 808. And Randy Mack's like, yo, nigga, just say that shit you be saying. Like, because early rhyming, I was trying to rhyme like New York. I was battle rhyming, talking about how, like LL, like I battle this, that. And niggas like, say that shit, nigga. Like, you be saying, because I would say that, like the hustler ones I said earlier tonight, say that. I'm like, nobody wants to hear that shit. He says, say that. Right? So we put it on, put the 808, and now came 6 in the morning, you know, just smoke.
So Randy Mack.
Uh-huh.
Suggested.
Bar
homie Randy Mack.
The bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was the one that was more like, say that shit.
That's big.
Right. So Mack said, say that other shit, Trey. So I said, okay, wow. We did that. And I get a call from Fillmore West. Fillmore West in Frisco. And they go, yo, we want you to do a show up here in Frisco. I'm like, okay, cool. And then about a week later, they call back. They said, you need to do another show. I said, I already booked the show. They said, that's sold out.
Off that one song?
Yeah, so we did a double show in Fillmore. Yeah. And that was it. I was like, what? They said, that sold out. What L.A. won't do, and we already know, they won't break an L.A. artist. Mm-hmm. But the Bay had no problem spinning my shit because I was just new. And they was banging it up there on KMEL or whatever, and that's all it took. And bam, next thing you know, I'm up there doing concerts and shit. And, you know, that was the beginning. Now I would go back to the radio where I meet as Africa Islam. All the New York rappers were scratching their head like, why do you want to rap? Like, you got a Porsche, you got bitches, you got a, you know, you fly.
You own already.
We fucked up. We rapping about it, but we ain't got it like that. But I'm like, shit, nigga, I know, like I say, my days numbers in low digits, it's not gonna last, you know. And hip-hop was infectious, like when you got a, hip-hop was something everybody wanted to do, it was just so dope. So I was like, learn about, so I met Grandmaster Caz, I wanted to be in a group. And Caz was like, can you rap from the beginning of the record to the end? I'm like, yeah, you don't need to be no group. My niggas in groups can only rap 16 bars, they can't rap the whole record. If you could rap the whole record, you're a solo artist. He said, you're trying to be in a group, that's hustling backwards. You rhyme the whole one out. You like Curtis Blow. You rhyme the whole motherfucking record. I'm like, okay, cool. So I never been in a group. And so
Then Islam was like, when I had 6 in the morning, he had already gone back to New York. I was like, dog, I need you to break this record. He said, I can't break it in New York. You got to come here. And I'm like, why? He said, because the niggas want to see the nigga that has the record. They don't want somebody handing them a record. If you want to make an impression, you got to bow. So I go out there. I've stayed at his house on 156 and 10. But because he was Africa Islam, son of Bambaataa, I meet Kool Herc. I meet Red Alert. I meet Chuck Chill Out. I meet Scott La Rock. I meet all the top DJs. I met New York from the top down.
You met Scott La Rock 49?
Yes. I was. I went out with Scott La Rock. I was at Union Square with Scott La Rock.
I used to.
We went on tour, Dope Jam tour.
Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to meet all those cats in New York. New York liked 6 in the morning. They spun 6 in the morning. That dun dun dun. They used to have dance moves and shit to that. So I was like, okay, cool. They digging me. So then there's a guy named Ralph Cooper, who was connected to the Apollo Theater. And so he pushed at Sire Records a compilation, Melly Mel, Grandmaster Caz, Donald D, Bronx Style Bob, and Ice-T. A compilation, because I liked to record with these niggas. Mel was still connected to Sugar Hill. Caz was still connected to Tough City. Donald was connected to Vintertainment. Bob had never made a record. And I had made a record, but I wasn't signed. So Seymour Stein, the same guy that signed Madonna, Talking Heads, and all that, Warner Brothers Records, said, I'll take Ice-T. He was so out of hip-hop, he didn't know that if you're from L.A., you can't rap. He didn't care. He's like,
it's in a package.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take that one, the one that ain't signed.
Yeah. Right. So I walk into his office to get the deal. The motherfucker tells me, he says, he's gay, first off. I'm like, oh, shit. They looked at me and said, Ice-T, you have such beautiful eyes. I looked at Islam like, oh, shit, we got to go there? That's how it's going to happen? Islam's like, chill. It's going, you know, and so.
Are you fucking up?
So he said, chill. So I said, okay. So he said, Ice-T, do you understand Calypso music? And I said, no. He says, well, it's the people from Trinidad singing about the problems. He says, but just because you don't understand Calypso doesn't make it invalid. It just means you don't understand it. I'm like, I've never heard anything more genius in my life. He's just saying, just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's stupid. It just means I don't understand it. And then he said, you sound like Bob Dylan. I respected Bob Dylan. I knew who that was. I took it as a compliment. He says, I want you to go make an album. There'll be no A&R. There'll be nothing. I just bring me the record, and we'll put the record out. Because there's no one around here qualified to A&R a rap record. We don't know what it is. Give me $40,000. I spent like $10,000 of that on the chain, my gold gun.
Yeah.
Bought an SB-12, a 909, and we made Ron Pays. So when Ron Pays goes in, we turn it in, he goes, oh my God, Ice. He's like, because I have a record. I got this one later. I said, guys grab a girl, girls grab a guy. If a guy wants a guy, please take it outside. Oh, this gay man's like, I'm like, Seymour, like, I'm not gay bashing. I'm saying I'm straight. If people can say they're gay, can I say I'm straight? He's like, okay. He says, so aggressive. And he says, I say, yeah, but you know, I say, your daughter.
All this was going on behind the scenes.
I say, your daughter like it? She goes, yeah. And this is a gay man with a family. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, I'm learning all the time. I'm strapped to the hood, nigga. I don't know what And he goes, I said, Seymour, I say, that tension you feel, that nervous tension you feel, I said, maybe that's money. He hung the phone up. Okay, thanks. It was. And the first album came out with a 40,000 budget, and I sold 800,000 records. So I've always been in the black my entire rap career. You know, it was on.
That's the one in the Burgundy Porsche right there?
Yeah. And then from there, you know, I never had A&R because no one could A&R. You know, they was letting it go because, you know, so.
There was nobody that could tell you, no, that's right, that's wrong.
There was no one out there.
By the time you came out with Pusha, you had A&R and all that, right?
No, we was looking for shit. And so you know, we was like, I was always into the blaxploitation shit. You know, I'm Your Pusher was the first record. When I used to be in junior high school, me and my buddy Billy Arnold, rest in peace, we would steal his sister's car after we get off the bus and then drive around by the bus where the other kids hadn't got off the bus, high signed in her car, playing I'm Your Pusher, because it was the only record that had the word nigga in it. And we thought that was hard. Yeah. Nigga. So that was like one of my old favorite songs. So me and Islam was he was pulling out beats, you know, because that's how they used to do it. They play records and you try to catch five. And this was like, I just loved all the blaxploitation sound. Hell Up in Harlem, Truck Turner, all that shit. And so that's, exactly, the Mac. So that's where I'm Your Pusher came from. You played yourself.
High Roller, where'd that come from?
High Rollers,
Yeah, first, yo, I spit that shit, man. Who is that?
I think that's the Meters, but that was that same kind of vibe from that. But I'm Your Push. You played yourself is paid the cost, paid the bones. That's Black Caesar. Look at me. You know what you see? He's bad. So we was all in there. So I was like, that kind of like became Ice-T sound of the blaxploitation, where Dre kind of took off with Parliament. You know, it was all P-Funk. I was the blaxploitation. We was using that. And it matched my style. You know, I remember when I did, You Played Yourself, and somebody said, that's you right there. You know, this is it.
Did they ask you to write colors, or did you write colors?
You got great questions. They got great questions.
That's because we know each other. You know what I'm saying? So,
no, Colors is what happened with Colors was they were doing the movie Colors. I didn't even know about the shit. So they had this whole movie, and from what I understand, Dennis Hopper wanted, they were going to shoot Colors in Chicago because they didn't know that we had gangs in L.A. That year, 360 kids had died in gang homicide, but in the hood. L.A. did not know about gangs until that little girl got killed in Westwood. When the white girl got killed in Westwood, that day we had gangs. It was a dirty secret of Los Angeles that no one ever talked about. We never made the news. That's why I named Body Count, because they used to say, 13 people died in gang homicides this weekend, now sports. I'm like, that's all I am, a body count? But back to Colors. So I get a call, and they go, they got this movie called Colors. They want to put Squeeze the Trigger in off of Ryan Penny. And I knew at that point, I'm like, well, if you want to use my movie record in a movie, can I see the movie? Right? I just wanted to see the movie. I was the guy to boss up on him. I was like, my chance to see the movie. So I watched the movie, and I was very objective. I'm like, well, the essays don't fight black people. Like, you know, I've seen niggas doing all kind of fake gang shit, but I was like, it's entertainment, you know? But then, because if you watch the movie, when Cheatham, Dick, what's his name, Cheeto? He played Rocket. Cheeto. Don Cheeto was Rocket. He's listening to Squeeze the Trigger in the room. Man. Yeah, but they had the song Colors. It was made by Rick James. Now, I'm going to say, we'll always have receipts. Check the album Colors. The last song on the B-side is a song called Colors by Rick James. And it's like, look at all these colors.
Okay.
It was, I'm like,
exactly what you're talking about.
So I was like,
in the world.
So I heard that. I'm like, that's the title song? So, like, nah. So me and Iz went, because Iz is my dog at this time. He's producing me. And he, now by now, he lives out here. So I'm like, let's go make a record. Let's go in. So we go to the studio. I'm like, we're going to redo. I can write a gangbanger song because I know bang back and forth. So at the time, I was banging King's Son. You just said his name. A song called Mythological by King's Son. And it goes mythological, mythological. And then it comes on. He goes, when I get ill, it's a reason, because it's duck season, hunter of the fronter. You know, so, so I come on, I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking. So I basically took his cadence. Now the track is like the track, and that little, that was a mistake. That, that was a,
That's all the best productions have little, that shouldn't happen.
That was a feedback out of a drum machine or a Lexicon space station. It came out, like, what the fuck was that? And the guy was about to mute it. I'm like, leave that in there.
Wow.
Leave that in there. And so, and the bass line was made on a little rolling battery operated bass line machine that lights shot by it, and you would do, and you could play it.
Wow.
That's all it was. And I just went in. You know, I wrote the record in the studio, and we played that shit. When we finished it, we played that shit like 100 times. That's how you know you got a hit record. I was like, bam. So I turned it in, and they were just blown away. And like, oh shit, this definitely gotta be the title. This is it. And then they did the video. Video got nominated for MTV Award. But then what they made me do to the song was do disclaimers in it. Because when the record was made originally, it sounded like a pro gang record.
Okay.
So that I had to do that. Yo, they shoot us and we shoot them.
At the video or after the video.
When I was going to do the video. Mm-hmm. We shoot them and they shoot us. Yo, man, don't join the gang no matter what. Hey, you know, don't, because Ice-T and I got no reason. Like, that I was forced to do that.
I remember that.
Yeah. I ain't got no reason to lie to you, because they was nervous. It was Warner Brothers. They were like, if you take all that shit out, it's like Task Force. Yeah, we got to go. You know, it's like, what is this nigga doing? So that was like pushing the line of gangster rap, because I wasn't writing it from no don't join a gang. I was like saying, this is what gang membership
is. Who in there, Western? Curious, that you Western?
Yeah. You learned how to do that in the 10th grade, you know.
I still think you that.
You could do that. That leads to, you niggas used to fall out of the classroom. Them niggas start whistling like that. That was a call, nigga. We about to mop somebody up. But
you know, it's funny. I used to, Lethal from Limp Bizkit, Everlast DJ, and Frederick asked me about the bass line for Colors. Yeah, they was asking me, how did I used to do it? I said, I think I used to.
It's with a little machine. With a little machine, but bug off this. Where my phone?
And you press the buttons on it?
Yeah, you press the buttons. It ran like a Roland's machine. It would go,
hold on one second, I'm gonna show you some shit real quick. Both of them was asking me, oh, you got the bass line.
First time we went to New York, I saw Donald D and Poor Righteous Teachers.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Nigga, that was the coldest concert ever. I ain't never seen PRT.
Yeah.
I knew Donald D from the FBI song.
Yeah. He had a record called Girl that was hot. I knew a girl named Vicky.
Yeah.
With a hickey.
She come from
Philly. There's no secret that she smokes Illy. Yeah, he was killing the girl that one. Yeah.
He was the B-boy, and he did another one, Stick Up Kids.
I just met
Check out this. This is from the new Body Count album. But metal. But look how we got the metal bass line behind it. Rock and roll colors.
Yeah.
He gonna hear the whistling in here a minute. It works with metal.
It does.
Cause it's a heavy record.
Mm-hmm.
I just said, who is that whistling? Everybody's thinking that. Yeah. So, yeah, we brought it back. We also brought back, dig this. You're going to bug off this for this new body count album. Watch this. You won't be ready for this. 6 in the morning, police at my door. Fresh shit, eat a squeak across the bathroom floor.
You break down to use drums.
So we brought it back.
That's dope.
We brought it back. But what it is with body count is I'm out there doing my whole show and they always want me to do Ice-T shit. Mm-hmm. Because it's still, you know, rock fans fuck with rap. So they like, do some, and I don't have any of it. Mm-hmm. So now they said, you know, this album, we going to do it. So if they really want to fuck with me, I'm like, motherfucker, I'm breaking the colors and freaking the motherfuckers out.
Yeah, that's dope.
Trespassing. They know about it. Trespassing. The movie Trespassing.
They had us audition for the part you would never get.
Okay.
I read for that shit.
Oh, to be King James?
Yeah, and what I did was I did it. I said, well, I ain't reading this shit. I live this. I ain't doing this. I did it, and it worked. Mm-hmm. So I came back the second time. I did it the same thing. I ain't finna read for this shit. Y'all want a real nigga that really will? I did. It didn't work the second time. Read the words, nigga.
I never knew that. See?
I never 7-2. We all read for that. Gave us, and then you and Q came in. They're like,
We see you.
We'll call you niggas back in a minute.
That's fucked.
He had it wrong.
Dig this.
We see you niggas later.
I used to always walk into auditions and Terrence Howard be sitting his ass off in there because he's a yellow looking nigga. I'm like, oh, man, fuck.
Mark Curry was at that audition, the name for my Mr. Cooper. He was just a lot of niggas in there. We in there reading and shit. Then I saw him, I said, damn, nigga, the Ice did kill. Nigga, we had them parts.
It was funny, when I wrote New Jack Hustler, after doing New Jack City, mm-hmm. I told him, I said, I can't write from the cop perspective. I don't mind playing the police, but I got to write this other one. So I said, let me do a song, and I'll call it Nino's Theme.
Okay.
And that's where New Jack Hustler came from.
Okay.
But, you know, every time I've ever turned in a project, people would have been nervous. Because, you know, I've been on I've been on features where niggas was like, yeah, but you kind of went hard, nigga. Like, I'm like, yo, dog, this is what I do. Like, I can't really feature with you if you're trying to get on the radio or any of that other shit, because I've never been on the radio. So that's not even in my breakdown of how to make records. I used to refuse to make even radio edits. I was like, fuck that. Like, I was just so like, this is either raw or that's just it, you know? So, you know.
Is Sire about other hip hop artists?
Huh?
Is Sire back there, they put any other hip hop artists when he was on that? He was the only one?
No, they're punk rock label. They're punk rock.
How unique that was, man. They just took a chance on jamming with you and just, you brought him a jam back, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was the only artist at Warner Brothers, though. I was the first West Coast artist signed to a major. So they had me, and then they signed Uptown with Puffy. And they stayed Puffy over there. He was an intern with Andre Harrell. Yeah. That's when Puffy used to work for Andre Harrell. Okay. And Benny Medina signed them. And so I had Big Daddy Kane over there. I had all the Cold Chillin' people over there. And that's when me and Kane became real close. But you know, that label was into unique shit. Like I said, they signed me. They signed Talking Heads. They signed Madonna. They signed Ministry. You know, the Ramones. So they was just into new sounds.
Yeah, the Ramones?
Yeah. Yeah. So they was, you know,
did
Did you compete at a show at Carolina West or something like that for a contract or something?
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, what's that story?
Story was I was at Carolina West and I was not trying to be a rapper at the time. I was just had raps. Just like, I think the Carolina West shit was prior to me even ever making a record. This was when I was doing my good Fred rhymes.
This is what I heard something about.
There was a contest there.
Carolina West, a club.
That started it, opened at 9 and closed at 9. That motherfucker was the craziest LA club of all time.
Yeah.
You know, so you go up in that motherfucker, and they actually had Carolina West was so cold, it had phones in it.
You could call over to the other table.
If you call
it. Dolomite in the movie. Dolomite in the thing when they was calling the phone booth to table to table.
Yeah, you could call the table. So you see a chick over number 34. Yeah, you better see what I'm saying. But I see what you're doing. Check us out, like, you know, with double Dutch bus cups on. We'd be over there by that table. It was fly. Then they had a pool table area over the side where the pimps would be with all the pimp hats and shit. So I was like in there. And they Curtis Blow showed up. Curtis Blow was like the shit. And they had a contest, and so my nigga, they had rap. I wasn't gonna rap, and then niggas was whack. Like I was like, okay, I might want to rap because these guys are kind of embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? So I got up. I ended up winning the contest. Blah blah blah. But the fact Curtis Blow said I won kind of made me believe I might be able to do it. Like. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's a real rapper, and he felt I had his skills. He was like, about a landslide, you know. I see this, that, and the third. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and I always let him know that. You know, that was, those are inspirational moments in your life that send you in a trajectory. So, yeah, it was the Carolina West. Then I rapped at Chevy Hills Park. I was rapping all over the place. Like, see, when I got with Henry and them, the Spin Masters, they were doing parties. So they were the stars. So I would tag along with them and just rap and stuff. And so I kind of built my name in the Cudahy and all the different like smaller spots by just being with them. Sometimes I'd be on the flyer, sometimes not. So that's how it kind of jumped off.
What about Water on the Bush?
Water Bush was when Islam and them had been out here for a while. And so Islam and them decided, let's create some clubs. And they had Water the Bush. They had United.
Water the Bush was Water ridiculous, man.
And United Nations.
Ain't that Jimmy Kimmel spot the Water on the Bush?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I know I ain't tripping, man. I'm old, man, but I'll be riding my nigga.
You were there.
Yeah. That is Water on the Bush. Jimmy Kimmel was going up in Water on the Bush every night, nigga.
Yeah. And
they leave the weapon video on there.
And that was a place where, you know, the whole concept was have a lot of rooms. So we had a reggae room. We had this room. We had that room. You know, that's when we learned that clubs were based on pussy per square foot. It was like, the more women we put in the club, the more cats would show up. So we would stock the pond. We would make sure all girls got in free, all girls. And we was always, you know, L.A. niggas never cared. We was like, white girls, black girls, that nigga from L.A., nigga, you know, if it's walking, we'll fuck it, you dig? So, niggas, we had it. And that was the whole theory of the United Nations was everybody from every place could come. And, you know, and we really didn't have no real gang issues up in there. It was a very peaceful situation. It was a nice situation up in there, you know. So.
You say, Jimmy Kimmel every night going to Water on the Bush, which I've been thinking about that yesterday. Like, nigga, that's our spot.
I actually did a Jimmy Kimmel. I told him we had a club in here before, back in the day. They shop, you know. Whatever, man. LA is, you know, interesting.
New Jack City too. You live in New Jack City too?
I don't think so. I don't. I'm not a hater, but I think New Jack City was based in a moment in time. You know, it caught. The crack era, it caught. You know, they had troops singing by the trash can and pulled back as Boys the Men. Like, you know, they had everything. It was Teddy Riley. It was that whole New Jack Swing. It was, how would you do it today? It's like
it would be all trapping. It'd be different. It wouldn't even
be like that new Superfly.
Thank you, man. I didn't want to say
it would be like what you just said. You got anything new you want to speak on?
Priest,
coming out? Any new projects you want to speak on?
As far as this, like this, no, I didn't come here to promote nothing. I mean, I got
I appreciate your time, man.
I mean, yeah, first, but you know what?
You said balling first on wax. We did the song, you know, but you. You said the word
balling.
He couldn't understand that was a concept, a West Coast concept.
A balling. Baller. You know, but I heard it from other ballers. I didn't invent the word.
No,
I said,
we're not saying that.
I said,
you put it on wax.
I said, I must stand. I say, we made up the word balling. That was how we rolled.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, but the feds had another plan that called multiple indictments. Hundreds of years.
You think you balling? Okay.
Yeah. But you know, my whole career was based on telling stories without snitching, like keeping it just enough game that you're not giving game away because niggas are still in the game. You know, I always say people have to learn how to tell stories without implicating those that may not want that particular story told. You know, so. You know, I could talk about some girls that I used to hustle with, and now they school teachers. Mm-hmm. Ice, what the fuck are you talking? You know, like, you know, so why? I don't need to, you know. So sometimes when you're vague, but see, niggas now think, oh, if you're going to keep it real does not mean snitching. Keeping real does not mean saying every motherfucking thing that comes out your mouth. Keeping it real, it has nothing to do with that. Most of these niggas ain't real, so they don't even have a reference point to real. They never been it. So they copy and fake and they call that real, but I came up on I've never had no problems. I've never had nobody double back on me. Oh nigga, why you do this? I've always been about being 100, like being like stay out of that drama. You know, that ain't no paper, that's nothing. And you know, I learned also how to shake niggas quick. Once I catch a nigga and I see this nigga's a funny style nigga, I just don't fuck with him. Because I'm like, this nigga right here will have you ready to fuck him up because he's on some old bullshit. So we just can't play. You know, I can't fuck with you because I see your get down. You dig? So that's cool too. But no, I'm not lay law. I mean, 21 years, Law and Order, people are still watching the show. It's funny though because people's like, why is you? I said, well, my fans kind of grew up to Law and Order. Like, the kids that were Ice-T fans now are grown, and they're adults. And so they matured with me and LL and stuff. So they're still my same fan base. It isn't another place.
Yeah, that's it. Mike Epps said, don't, Ice-T. Don't. When it's new Netflix.
Yeah.
Help that shit. I was, you know, Mike, I got, man.
Yeah, Mike is going to, we're actually doing something with Mike. We're trying to call The Art of Comedy. So after The Art of Rap, I'm on Mike.
Oh, you got another doc coming out. But you got another documentary coming out, but that's, you're doing it on comedy
shows.
Yes, based on that, but based on...
you're going to tour with it.
Two.
Comedy first.
We got...
And a tour.
So we have The Art of Rap. We got Art of Rap Latino, right? Then we have Art of Comedy shows. But then Mike, we're going to do the film.
Okay.
Where Michael interviewed Dave Chappelle, Eddie, you know, but we're going to ask him, how do you do comedy? Not, like we say, not the money, not the jewels, not the cars, not the beef. Where are you when you write your, just like what you're doing, that, the art of it, where does it come from? Pain, you know, like Tracy Morgan told me that, you know, he had a brother that was handicapped and, you know, instead of crying, he had to become funny. You know, so a lot of comedians, it comes from pain, you know, and so that's another concept to do the art of comedy. Because it hasn't been done. So that, Law and Order again, 21 years. New Body Count album drops March 6th for, you know, believe it or not. You know, people, black people don't listen to rap. Yeah, they do.
Oh, I love rap.
They do. So we got the New Body Count album. It's called Carnivore. Mm-hmm. It's heavy music with Ice-T lyrics on top of it. I just dropped a couple of singles. Too old for the dumb shit and feds in my rear view just for the fuck of it. I have one more song.
Too old for dumb shit.
And then I got one more song called The Hanging, which is the end of the trilogy. Because people was like, do an album. I'm like, I don't feel do like an album. I'll just do something different. So I said, maybe I'll do three songs that connect like a film. Like, you know, so that was something. And anything else, Hank?
You're fading the mark or the watch.
Yeah, got artists. You know, yeah. Fetty DeMarco, a young kid out of Watts that I've been working with for like 15 years, but the kid is dope. Like, he's like a true sound, like a Tupac type nigga, but he's real gangsters from Imperial Courts. So much, so many bars, so much dope. We got a kid from M.Dot from Detroit we fucking with. He's good. I got a singer named Zaim that I just played for Dre. Dre nutted up and said, ooh, what? I'll fuck with him. When Dr. Dre said he'll fuck with you, that damn near gets you a gold record. Just that's somebody, right. Just knowing that off top that he even feels that.
He played one record.
What you call it, yeah. Wiz? Huh?
Yeah. Obama.
We call him Zeus. You go up to Mount Olympus, go see Zeus.
I mean, you know, you got to see him as Obama. You know, you got to have.
See the wizard.
Yeah.
Some courage.
Yeah.
Obama.
I felt like going to see the president.
Dre moved like the president. Real talk. When Dre caravan out, Dre moved like the president.
Yeah.
You ever seen how Dre move? Cars, all this, all that. Dre moved like the president, man.
So you got to get clearance for this level, clearance for that level.
Hey, you know, it's only right, though, but he earned it. I mean, I named Dr. Dre the Quincy Jones of our era.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything he touched, from N.W.A. all the way to making J.J. Fad go platinum, all the way to touching Eminem, touching 50, touching Game.
Anderson.
You know, yeah, Pac, New Cats.
Kendrick.
Snoop, Kendrick. you know, the man, he's what it is as far as West Coast goes. And I can't really think of any other producer in hip hop that can compare to his to him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got the Premieres, you got the Puffs, you got all these other cats, but not like they don't have the track record Dr. Dre has. Yeah.
And no criteria.
Huh?
That criteria is way up here.
No, it's not. But it's solid. It's solid, you know? So, you know, I look at Russell Simmons in a special way. Because I know Russell and Def Jam made hip hop something that was needed. It was a big thing. Def Jam, that's part of hip hop, and Russell and them did that. God bless them. See, you gotta understand it. Whoever's doing it to create the place for you to live, you owe them. So you know when I see 50 Cent win with Power, and then went on. That means we can walk in with a fucking deal, you know, or something. They're opening doors. Stop being haters.
Yeah.
Like, motherfuckers is making opportunities. If we go out and lose, they not fucking with you. Yeah. If you go out and if people win, if your podcast wins, more people get action. So when you see, I'm so happy what 50's doing. No, I remember I went to 50's thing and he said, Ice, man, I'm trying to get off of this. I'm trying to do what you're doing. Like, okay, you know, you 50 Cent, nigga, what you doing? But man, he was getting ready to go this way into the production of films and television. He killed it. And Power was a quality show. It's good quality shit. Look what Cube did with all his films and all this stuff. So all of us together, we're breaking barriers and we're spreading the game out, you know? And that's what you're supposed to do. You know, as a real live player. If you a sucker, you know, go cuddle up under your bitch and suck your thumb, nigga. You know, like, I don't got no time for all that old hate bullshit. Right. That's corny, man. When you feel it. But see, envy is we're humans. So it's a normal thing, you know. But you have to address that, you know. You have to address that. Like, why am I mad at this man, you know? Why? And if you calling a nigga a sucker, well, if he's a sucker, then why ain't you doing it? If he's so whack, then what are you saying about yourself, nigga? You know? So what I do is I just say, certain things ain't my flavor, certain things ain't my taste. But I'll never speak down. Like, when I got myself involved with the Soulja Boy shit, I at the end of the day, I felt real stupid because there's no way a guy my age should ID with a 16-year-old kid's music. It's just not meant to be. It's not meant to be.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just not. But you have to learn. You have to think about it. Sometimes you got to make the mistake and say, why would, you know, a guy my age be able to ID with it? I might not like it. Because what's the word they allowed to use? You try to say relevant. Relevance is perspective. relevance. What's relevant to you might be to a kid might be the new Jordans. What's relative to Dre might be the price of jet fuel.
Yeah.
Two different players. You see what I'm saying? So whatever, if you're selling real estate over there, what's relevant to you is how much I can get this track mall for. Fuck the new sneaker. It's not in my realm. So when you're saying what you're relevant to what or who, you know what I'm saying? A real nigga will always be relevant to real niggas. You know? You don't have to have the hottest new record out, this, that, and like you said, Priest, nigga. You the Priest, that's it. He's always that's that nigga.
Scatterman.
Yeah. You can't, but you know, if you try to be relevant to just the new trendy people, that's not my target audience. You know, I don't really care about that. Yeah, I want to be relevant to real motherfuckers, you know, niggas that really been through some shit. So that's you know, and I've never ever been challenged by a real nigga. I've never had no real nigga come in, yo, nigga, you play the police?
Fuck, that's dumb as fuck.
I've never had that. It's always somebody corny. And you know, it's like square white people like to tell you you ain't hood. Like,
that's funny.
What do you mean? Yeah, like you have a whole concept what hood is any motherfucking way. So a little nerd. Those are the people that want to try to check you, yeah. You know. But never no street cats because they understand. They like, yo, man, shit, nigga, we all trying to get the fuck. Ain't it funny, though, how we're trying to get out and niggas is trying to get in?
Man, yeah.
Moving back.
When I see these kids, that are these artists, and they're big, wealthy people, and they want to join gangs, I'm like,
we're talking about that on the way down
there. What are you thinking? Avoiding that shit by just being who he is. I fuck with y'all. My color is green. But I'm going to fuck with both of y'all. Because y'all know. Because I can't not sell to these niggas. Because these niggas from that side, they don't matter. I'm going to cut my money down. Because I'm from here. No, man. All y'all just come say that. We're all family.
I think what it is they don't truly know what it is. They see it. It's like you could watch a mafia movie and think you want to be in the mafia. Not knowing that the guy sitting next to you is going to blow your fucking brains out after dinner. You could think that you want to be in a gang, not never really knowing what it is. So I think that they're kind of looking at the illusion of it and not knowing. And I try to tell them as much as I can. I'm like, I tell them, I said, you know, I'm not your role model. My road's too dirty to follow. You know, every phone call is another case of death or life. I try to struggle with the paradox of wrong and right. And since I live by the gun, will I die by the knife? You know, so I'm always caught in this thing. And that's really what Ice-T is. If you want to know what I have been doing this whole time, GOMAC, is, and we'll end it on this. It's like I was running down this street, a hustling. And I was running with all the players and all the gangsters. And I got to the end, and that's a cliff. And niggas was going off the cliff to the penitentiary. They's dying. And my career is me turning around and running back up the road saying, don't go that way. My nigga, hey, yo, don't, yo. But niggas is still running past
still
me.
Going off that cliff.
But I'm like, don't go. That's Ice-T. That's me. Now, you know, well, why? I can't promote it consciously. Because my niggas in the penitentiary, he's like, nigga, what you telling these niggas to do? Nigga, like, nigga. What's happening? I've always had people that could hold me accountable for every word I say. So I was like, you know, so we'll end it on that, man. You know, if you out there, you listening to this and you don't get nothing out of it, man, you know, get your hustle up, man. Don't break the law. Don't let these motherfuckers stick you behind the motherfucking walls for the rest of your life. You know, there's nothing more important than freedom, liberty, and health. If you got those three things, any fucking thing can happen, man. But like Shiny Sean told me, man, you got to be out here when it pops off. If you in there, it don't matter if it pops off, but you got to be here when it goes down. And it can go down at any moment. Right now it went down. You dig what I'm saying? But you don't want to be seeing this on motherfucking YouTube in a motherfucking cell and no shit like
that's
that.
That's my nigga right there.
Yeah.
We appreciate your time, man. We're going to wrap it up.
know what I'm saying? Okay, you niggas came, and this is the wildest production of all time.
Wait, hold on, man.
Okay, what's your question?
You
can I ask you just one question?
Yeah, you can ask several. You were supposed to be sitting up in here.
Yo, we got two more artists, man. One from Minneapolis, Missouri. His name is Six Easy, and a Mexican cat named Namek also.
There it is.
Okay, player in the cuz.
This our fam, man. This,
come on, go, baby, go. Go while I'm here.
Look, Juice.
Yeah. You know, Tim Juice.
Look, man, from the cloth. The cloth has, you know, there's a few cats who the cloth just respects and always throws homage to. Like, you could walk on any blade and a motherfucker would, you know, throw up peas to you and come, you know, church game with you, man. And so, with that being said, one thing that floats around the circle is, you know, there's a few remarkable acts have been pulled off by some acts. One of the things that's talked about in the circle is this thing about Karen, how she gives you these props in her memoirs about Stephens, Superhead.
Dear God. What you want to talk about her for?
I don't know nothing about the ism other than she gives you the props of lacing her tennis shoes, which pronunciated her to go on this spree of breaking and extorting. You did what I'm talking about. And I just want to know if it was a valid situation or if you wanted to even church on the validity of the situation.
No.
Thank you.
No.
And we good.
No.
Okay. Tell Shiny I'm going to call him. That's my nigga. I love him. Yeah, let me get my chakras right.
I didn't even know homegirl was still in the business or out there, whatever.
All right, so I need my...